Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Samach Gimel. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Phil Silverstein Shraga Feivel BeMenachem. We're also learning Le'ili Nishmas Gitti Palik Gittel Bas Rafael Mordechai Gerti Shmel Gittel Bracha Bas Avram and Fei Weingort Fei Rochel Bas Feivish. All the neshamos we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning, and as well we learn for the continued safety and success of Tzahal. They should bring back the Chatufim. All those in need of a refuah shleima should have one b'mheira, and b'ezus Hashem there should be shalom al Klal Yisrael. And I'm dictating this on erev Pesach. B'ezus Hashem, as we go into the night of Geula, the Leil Shimurim, let it be safe all of Klal Yisrael, and let it bring the Geula shleima b'mheira v'yameinu. Okay, so we begin. We'll read over. We did last day the very last words on Samach Beis, Omen Beis. Two lines at the bottom, El Omar Rava. We had explained the Mishnah yesterday in a certain way. We didn't like that. We had schlugged it up. Rava had schlugged it up. The way Abai had explained it, the way we had previous other explanations. And therefore, Rava explains the Mishnah in the following way. He says first, a little introduction, Ki Shechivna, when I pass away, Rava said, Revoshia Nofak Lavosi. Rav Yehoshua is going to come out and escort me to the Olam HaEmes, where I'm my place in Shemayim, because I always, the Mitarzina, and we turn to Samach Gimel Omen Aleph, the Mitarzina, because they always explain Masnitzin Kavasi, the Mishnayis, in his accord, in accordance with the way he learned the Brises. As I mentioned yesterday, Ruchi and Rav Hoshaya were the ones that put together all the Brises, that codified them, and their Brises are considered very exact and correct, and therefore I'm going to explain our Mishnah, the second part of our Mishnah, in accordance with one of the brises that Rav Hoshaya taught. What was that? The Tani Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya learned the following brisa. Hare Shahaya Noshe B'chaver Mone. Ruvain is owed a money by Shimon. Ruvain is going to claim that money that Shimon owns him. V'holach V'omer Al Gorno. And he goes to Shimon's Gorin. He goes to his silo. And he says to Shimon, hey, you owe me the money. V'omer Ten li mo'osai, give me the money that you owe me. Shani rotze likach b'hem chidu, because I need that money now to go and buy wheat. And Shimon says, hey, you're in luck. V'yamalo, Shimon says to him, chidu b'yeshli, I got wheat. Shani nosin l'cha, I will give this to you instead of the money that I owe you. Say, go out, va'asein olai kishar shel achshel, figure out what the price is right now. There is a current price, there is a shar for what the wheat is worth. Take that amount of wheat that I owe you, that mana's worth, take a mana's worth of wheat from me, and you will be paid back. Now, they made this agreement, but he didn't take the wheat at this point in time. So, this debt of a mana is now a certain amount of wheat. Now, it comes to the optimal time to go and sell the wheat. Higia zman chitin limkor. It was the optimal time, as Rashi says, shenisyaku, the price is worth their best for the wheat owners. V'derech otzrosein, and it was the time for them in their silos, Limokwan may have to go and sell them right now. So the person, Ruvain, who was owed a mana originally and then took a mana's worth of wheat at the shard that was set up several weeks ago, let's say, now comes to go and actually collect the wheat. He gives man chitin limkar, and amalo tein li chitin. He now goes, Ruvain goes to Shimon and says, give me the wheat. Now, that original mana worth of wheat that was, let's say, obtained several weeks ago, which he didn't actually pick up, is now worth more. You'll get, for that mana, you would only get less wheat right now, but he's still entitled to get the amount that was originally contracted for. Because he says, I want this wheat that you owe me at the higher price, shani rotza lemochon velikach bohem yai, because I want to take this wheat and go and buy wine with it. So that was the Bryce's continuation. Omelo. So Shimon said to him, ah, I got wine. Yesh li yayin, shani nosin l'cha. Okay, I already owe you wheat. Now, the wheat that I'm supposed to give you is worth more now than it was then, but I'm still going to give you the same amount of wheat for the mana. Right now, you'd only buy, let's say, 9/10 of that for that mana, but I'm going to still give you the 100% of that we had agreed upon beforehand, and now we'll exchange that on wine. Yesh li yayin, shani nosin l'cha. And they do the same thing with the wine, except he doesn't give him the wine, he just arranges to go and have that wine now belong to Ruvain. Save Ason Olai Kishar Shalashim. Go and see what the prices are. There is a current shar for the wine, and go and exchange the wheat for the value that you have for that amount of wine. And Ruvain says, good deal, but he doesn't take the wine at this point in time. Now, he gives man yayin limkar. Now, a few weeks later, it's the optimal time to sell the wine. The wine is at a premium. The wine is at a higher price, but he still has it at the lower price that he got it. And he goes to Shimon, and he says, well, Amalo, tein li yedi, go and give me the wine at the higher price. So he's been getting it each time at a higher price. he's getting a better deal on it, Reuven. He's trying, because he paid for it. He got the equivalent value when the prices were lower, but now he gets the wine at the higher price. So he gets more wine than he would normally have gotten otherwise. Because he says, now, Shani Rod Salimkar, Lemochro, Vili Kachbo Shemin, because I want to go now and go and buy oil with this. So Amalo, again, Shimon says, so guess what? I got oil. Shemin Yeshli, Shani No Silcha. And to do the same exact thing, take the value of the wine and go. Right now, there is a shar. Say, Vaseyu, Alai, Kashar, Shal Akshav. Go and calculate what the amount of oil that you'd be entitled to based upon the prices that are right now. And in this situation, you'll get that amount of oil. Now, in all of these scenarios, he never actually gave him money right now. He only gave him the value of the debt to go and purchase from the original wheat to the wine, and from the wine to the oil. So in all of these, nevertheless, kulam im yesh lo mutter, as long as Shimon had these items in his possession at the time. It wasn't enough that there should just be the shar, but as long as he had each of these items, he had the wheat in his possession, he had the wine in his possession, he had the oil in his possession, and there was a shar, so then it is perfectly acceptable. Yeshlo, it's mutter. However, Einlo, if he doesn't have them, so then it would be usur. So what do we see over here? Rava says that this brice from Moshe says that it's perfectly acceptable as long as he has the item to go and make this type of what we call a forward deal. It is perfectly acceptable to do this, to pay now the value of this item, to take the value of this item right now, even though it's going to go up later on. But since you're paying it right now, and he could have given it to you right now because he has it, yeshlo, so therefore it is permissible. So this is how Rava understands our Mishnah, and that's why the Mishnah had to say he had the wine in the Mishnah. It wasn't enough that it should be just the shar, but he had to actually have the wine as well. And this is the difference between the way that Rava explains our Mishnah based upon this brisa from Hoshaya versus the previous explanation. The previous explanation said that you couldn't do this with just the debt. You actually have to give him something right then and there. You have to give him the money right then and there for it. You couldn't do it with the exchange of the debt that Shimon had owed Reuven. In the previous explanations, Reuven had to actually give Shimon money. Here, we're taking the debt that Reuven had with Shimon. Shimon owes him money, and using that debt. So this brisa from Avishai says that that's acceptable. Previously, we said that that's not acceptable. The only time, by the way, that the shar works, that there's a set price, is if you have, in fact, the actual giving over of the cash. But if you didn't give over cash right now, you're using a debt, then just the fact that there's a shar is not good enough. But here, in this brisa, the fact that there is a debt still allows this forward contract to be good. So that is Rava's understanding of our Mishnah based upon this brisa of Rav Hoshaya. Aye, the Gemara says, Umay lo kach, it said in the Mishnah that he took it. In other words, that he actually bought the wheat from the seller. So it means lo kach behalva also. It means he didn't pay for it with cash like we had originally thought, but he paid for it with the debt that Shimon had owed him. Bottom line is, Amar Rava. Rava says, you can learn three things from this brisa of Rav Hoshaya. Shmamino midrav Hoshaya to loss. Three things. Number one, Shmamino demamidin milve al gabi peros, that you can in fact go and take this debt that Shimon owes Reuven and go and convert it into the essence of a sale of the produce. So in our case, that debt that Shimon owed Reuven can be converted from a debt of a mana into the amount of wheat that a mana will buy at that point in time because he has the wheat in his possession. Velo amrinan, and we don't say delo ki isaro habol yodohu, and we don't say there's a difference, as previously we had said, and Rabbi had said previously, that there's a difference between if you're actually giving cash, then it works, but if you're doing it with a debt, it doesn't work. So here, Rava says, no, this works even with a debt. You don't have to actually give over cash right now. So that's Shmamina number one. Shmami number two, Ushmami no Hudiyeshlo. He has to actually have it in his possession. It's not enough that there's just a shar when you're dealing with a debt and converting the debt into the produce, but he has to actually have it in his possession. That's Shmami no number two. And Shmami number three, Ushmami no Isa Lidurav Yanai. This is in accord with Rav Yanai's opinion. We'll see in a moment there's a machlokes in Rav Yanai and Rav as to what the halacha is in the following scenario. The Amar Rav Yanai, Mali hein, mali demein. What difference does it make if he actually brings the wheat to him or he gives him the value of the wheat? In other words, he could then say, I'll give you wine. I can then give you the shemen. So that is perfectly acceptable according to Rav Yanai, and that is the third shmamina that we see, Rav says, from Ovashai's Brisa. As opposed to Rav, who disagrees with that. The Itmar, we now bring down this machlokas between Rav Yanai and Rav. The Itmar, Rav Amar, Osin Amona Beperos, one is allowed to go and make a deal with Peros. In other words, I'll give you money now for, if there's a shower of prices, I'll give you money now for wheat, and you'll give it to me later on, even though the price of the wheat goes up, because I'm giving you the money right now, so that's acceptable, as long as there is a shower. However, the Ein Osin Amona Bidomin. But what you can't do is give him the money right now for the wheat, which there is a shower for, and then later on, go and take money instead of that wheat at a later point in time, because the wheat has gone up, and now you're going to get money at a higher value. That you can't do. You can't take domim instead of the wheat. You have to take the wheat at the future. That's what Rav holds. For Rav Yanai, Amar, no. Mali hein, what difference does it make if you get the produce, the wheat, let's say, at a later point in time, or you get demayim, the value of the wheat, such as wine or oil. So that would be perfectly acceptable. So that's what Rav Yanai's opinion is. Rav Yanai, Amar, mali hein, umali demayim. It doesn't make any difference when you get them or you get the value of them. Whereas Rav says, no, you only can get that item itself, but you can't use it for domim. You can't go and get the value of that in terms of money or in terms of another product. So that's exactly, that was the third shmamina that we hold like Rav Yanai, that you could exchange the wheat then for the wine and then exchange it for the oil, whereas Rav would say no. Now, the more questions this is, really? Meisve, how could Rav say this? Kulam im yeshlo mutter. We said previously in the Brisa that as long as he has the oil, he has the wheat, he has the wine, so then these are all permissible. So the Brisa certainly goes against Rav. How could Rav go against the Brisa? So we have several ways to understand the Brisa according to Rav. First one is Rav himself. I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav. Rav Huna sent him a Rav because we're dealing with Bishem Moshach. He actually made a kinyan on the wheat. He made a kinyan on the wine. He made a kinyan on the oil. He just didn't take it into his possession. He gave it back to Shimon to watch it for him. Where it says, if that's so, if you're telling me that he made a kinyan on it, would you need to tell me that it's acceptable? It's his. He made a kinyan on it. So therefore, it went up in his possession. There is no concern of ribbis in this situation. So where it says, you're right, that's true. He didn't actually make a kinyan on it. Rav Huna Marav said, he put it aside in a specified place. He designated a keren zovis for it, a corner. So he put that wheat, he put that oil, he put that wine in a specified place. In this situation, Rav would agree that that's acceptable to go and exchange it. But if he didn't designate a separate place for it, and he certainly didn't make a mashiach on it, so then Rav would say it's no good. So that's how Rav Huna Amar Rav would reconcile the opinion of Rav with that brisa. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel would say, no, Hamani, whose opinion does this brisa hold like? It's a das yochid, it's Rabbi Yehuda here, it's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the Omar, Tzad Echod Biribis is Mutter. If there's one possibility over here that there'll be Ribis, but there's another equally good possibility that it won't be Ribis, Rav Yehuda says that's not a concern. That's not Ribis. Ribis is only if it's definitely going to be Ribis, but if it's only a possibility there'll be Ribis, so to say, one Tzad that'll be Ribis. If this happens, there'll be Ribis, but if this doesn't happen, then it won't be Ribis. So then Rav Yehuda says that's not a Ribis concern, whereas the Chachamim hold that it is a Ribis concern. And this Brisa goes in accordance with the opinion Rav Yehuda. Let's see this inside a little bit more. The Tanya's, we learned in the following Brisa. Harei Shahaya Noshe B'chaveru Mona. Reuven is demanding the money that Shimon owes him. He goes to Shimon and says, hey, you owe me a money. So Shimon doesn't have the money, and he says, here, my field will be the collateral for the money that I owe you. And I'm giving it to you, and you have the right to this field if I don't pay you by a certain date. So the Osalo Sadeu Mecher, I'm making my field into the repayment of your debt. But give me a little bit more time, and I can still get back my field if I pay you by such and such a date. So that's called he made his field the Osalo Sadeu Mecher. Now, who gets to use the produce during this period of time? So, Bisman Shamocher Ochel Peros, as long as Shimon, the one who was in debt, and gave the field to pay off his debt, if he doesn't pay back the money by a certain time. So as long as Shimon is still eating the payros, then there's no ribbis over here. Bizman shamocher ocho payros mutter. This is a perfectly good transaction. However, if Reuven lokeach ochel payros, if Reuven is entitled to eat the payros, and he doesn't deduct this from the loan, as we mentioned previously, That would be mashkanta desura, which would be allowed as long as, you know, you deduct each amount of parodus that you take from the amount of the loan. So that here we didn't do that. Here, just lokech ocho peros. Reuven is eating the peros, then it's awesome because that's ribbons. He's going to get back his money. Plus, he had the right to eat the peros. Now, since in this situation, he may or may not get his money back from Shimon. So if he doesn't get his money back from Shimon, so then he has the right to eat the peros because that was the repayment of the loan. But if he does get back the money from Shimon, so then he doesn't have the right to eat the peros, and that's why the Tanakh Kama says this is no good, because tzad echod beribis is no good. Maybe he'll get paid back from Shimon, maybe he won't. So if he, in fact, does get paid back from Shimon, then it's ribis. If he doesn't get paid back from Shimon, it's not ribis. Nevertheless, this is no good, because it's tzad echod beribis, and there's the possibility this could be ribis. The Tanakh Kama says it's no good. If it's lokech ocho peros, it's osur. Everybody agrees, Bizman Sham Ocher Ocher Peros is Mutter, because then there is no ribbis at all. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, who guarantees over here that he is going to get the money from Shimon? Maybe this is the payment, and then that's not ribbis, that's called the repayment. And therefore, Ah Bizman Sham Lokeach Ocher Peros, this type of a deal is Mutter, because there's no guarantee that it will be ribbis. Amalhem Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says, I'll show you that I'm right, because of Maisa Shoya. Maisa Bebaisus Ben Zunin. Once was a person, Baizos ben Zunin, Sha'aso Sudeo Mecher, who was the Shimon in this situation, who owed money to a Reuven, and he gave him the field as the collateral, so to say, for the loan. And he did this, Api Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah was the one that passed that this was acceptable. And V'lo Keach Ocho Peros Hoya. And this Reuven in this situation was the one that ate the Peros. And not our Shimon in this situation was Baizos ben Zunin. So therefore, that is a perfectly good raya. Rabbi Yehuda says, from this case, it was done al pi the hora of Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah, that if it's only tzad echad ribbis, only a possibility there'll be ribbis, it is permitted. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda told the Chacham, the Tanakh Kama. Amru lo, so the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham raya, bring us a raya from over there. Mocher ocho peros hoya v'lo lokeach. No, Baisus ben Zonin was the one that ate the peros, and not the Reuven in that situation, not the one that Baisus ben Zonin owed the money to. And therefore, everybody agrees that that's mutter. Now, what are they arguing about? My benayit, what's the nafkamina over here? What's the machlokes between the Chacham and the Tanakh Kama and Rabbi Yehuda? So Abai explains as follows. Amar Abai, tzad echa beribis, ikar benayit. They're arguing about this point exactly. The Tanakh Kama holds that since it's a possibility, if the lokech is eating the peros, then it could be ribis. So tzad echa beribis is usher. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, unless it's definitely that it's going to be ribbis, so then tzad echad ribbis is not going to be usr. That's Abaye's teretz. Rava gives a different teretz. Rava says, Rava amar, ribbis amanas lahasir ikarinayim. No, what they're arguing about is that if you did get ribbis, and then it turns out that it was ribbis, then you give it back. If it wasn't ribbis, then you don't have to give it back, is what they're arguing about. According to the Tanakh Kama, the fact that it could be ribbis means that you can't make this type of a transaction. And therefore, you're not allowed to do this. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, if it's no ribbis, no problem. If it's ribbis, you have to give it back. So therefore, that's what they're arguing about. The Tanakh Kama says that's not acceptable, and Rav Yehuda says it is acceptable. So that's the second teretz according to Rava. We have two terutzim over here. The second one we just brought down from Rava, and the first one we had a moment ago from Shmuel. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, furthermore, Hashta, the Amar Rav Yane, now that we worked out the Brisa, like I brought it down in the understanding of Rav Hoshaya's Brisa to understand our Mishnah, now that we brought down that understanding, the third Shmamino was Rav Yanai Shmamino, and we turn to Samachimol and Beis, Mali Hain, Umali Demei and Amrinon, that in fact it doesn't make any difference whether you give him the actual produce, let's say the wheat that you owe him or the wine that you owe him, or you give him the value of the wheat, the value of the wine, both of them are good. So now let's add one more thing, Rava says. Once we say that, so we can also say Mali Demeihen, Umali Hain, Nami Amrinon. So we can say as well this additional statement, that you don't need to even have in possession the actual goods themselves. You could even have the value of the goods. Just like we said, Mali Hain, what difference does it make them, or Mali Demain, or if you have something else of that value, so too we can say the other way around, Mali Demain, it doesn't make any difference if you have the value of them, or whether you have them itself. In other words, it doesn't make any difference if Shimon has the item itself that he says, I'll give you wine instead, or he says, I don't have the wine, but I have the money, the value of the wine, and that would be acceptable as well. That's what Rava now wants to suggest, because Upos can now shar shibashuk, and you can rely upon the, since he has the money, you can rely upon what the shar is in this situation, even though he doesn't have that goods at that time, you can rely upon it because he has the money for it. That's what Rava wants to suggest, that it works both ways, mali hein, mali demayin, and as well, mali demayin, mali hein. However, Esrei Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bredi of Yeshua, Rava. Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Bredi of Yeshua didn't like this, and they questioned Rava from the following. It says in Rav Hoshaya's Braisa, Kulam im yesh lo mutter im ein lo aser. It seems to go against what you just said, Befeirush, in that Braisa. It said, only if he has the wheat, only if he has the wine, only if he has the shemen, is it permissible. Implication being, if he doesn't have it in ein lo, then it would be aser. But Rava, you just said, no, as long as he has the money, that's good as well. He doesn't have to have the actual item, because you can rely upon the shar. But this seems to go against that. So how does Rava answer? Amalu, Rava tells Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, he says, no. Hasam halva, in the case of Rav Hoshaya's Braisa, it's dealing where this original money, the money that Shimon owed Reuven, was the whole weight of the transaction was based upon that debt. But when I'm talking about Hochazvini, that's when he actually gave him cash right now. Not that he converted his debt into this. When he actually gives him cash right now, so then you can use the shar, that is acceptable, and then mali d'mehen, mali hein, that works as well. In this situation, the shar alone works. You don't have to have the item itself. When you're converting the loan, however, into making it now an exchange for the wheat or for the wine or for the oil, so then you must have the actual goods themselves in your possession or an equivalent value of those goods. Mali hein, mali d'mehen, that would be acceptable. But the other way around, to say mali demayin or mali hein wouldn't work in a conversion of the debt. That would only work if we're actually giving cash right now, an actual purchase. Okay. Gemara now tells us, Rabba of Rav Yosef, Damri Tavayu, Rabba and Rav Yosef, they both said the following, my time on Rabban poskin al shar shebashuk. Why did the Chachamim allow you to go and make these forward contracts that I'm paying you right now at the set price? Because there is a set price, poskin al shar shebashuk, for future getting that produce, even though the market rates went off. The afal pishelo, we rely upon the shar when he's giving money right now. As we just pointed out, we rely upon the shar, the existing shar, even though he doesn't have the wheat right now. Why does that work? Why is that acceptable? So Rav and Rav Yosef say, because the Reuven who's purchasing this wheat for the future from Shimon, because there is a shar right now, he says, you're not doing me any favor by giving it to me later on, and you're giving me more then I would be able to buy later on because I'm setting it up at the price right now. Because shkilo tivusech, you're not doing me a favor. Vishaja chizre, go and take the quote favor that you're doing for me and go and put it on the thorn bushes. Achizre means the thorn bushes. In other words, you're not doing me a favor. Maya, honestly, how did you help me? I could take my money right now and go and buy this item from someone else. Ihavu li zuzeb yodi, if I had had my money in my hands instead of giving it to you, I could have bought it right now. Hava mizbina Behini or Bishili, these are two nearby places. Hini and Shili were the names of cities that were nearby. Bezula, and I could buy it at this lower price right now. So since I could have purchased it right now anyway, because there is a shar, so I'm not gaining anything by having you give it to me at a later point in time. So therefore, there is no ribbis concern, and that's why Rabbi and Rav Yosef explain the understanding of the Chachamim, when there is a shar, that post can now shar shebashuk, you can make these forward deals if there is a set price, as long as you're giving him the money right now, because if he wished, he could go and purchase that item right now in Hidi and Shili for this price. And therefore, you're not doing him such a favor by giving it to him at a later point in time. And that's why it's allowed. And it's not ribbis. Amalei Abaye, Rav Yosef, Abaye questions this. And he says to Rav Yosef, wait a second, Elamayata, based upon this, Mutter Lilvos saw besaw. Then, based upon what you're saying, since he can give him the money right now and he can get it from Hini and Shili, so therefore I should be able to go take it from him later on. So then, why is it any different if I give you a saw right now? Why did the rabbi say I can't get a saw back from you later on? After all, Mishum Dematzi Amale, he could say to the guy, Shkilu Tibusech Vishadja Chizre, go and take your favor that you're doing me and throw it on the thorn bushes. In other words, you're not doing me any favor. I gave you this saw. What happened to it? Did it get kadochi? Did it get either burnt up or did it sprout? Rashi has two different possible explanations. We brought this down in the Tosos in Yestasia. This is where we brought it down from. Did my wheat suddenly either sprout in the rain or did it get burned up? Ba'ak kalboy in your storehouse? No, it's my wheat. So it's the same wheat. So you're just giving me back my wheat. That's not ribbits. So we don't hold like this. But why not? Why don't we say, saw b'saw should be good based upon your reasoning? That's what Abaye questions Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, no. Amalei, there's a difference. Hasam hava, hachazvini. In the case of the saw, for a saw, that's like a loan, and that's why it's not allowed. Where in the case of the money, hachazvini, I'm buying it right now. I could buy this right now and get it. Therefore, when you give it to me later on, you're not doing me a favor. It's not a ribbis concern. But this saw that I'm giving you, it's a loan. You're not giving me back the same saw. You're giving me back a different saw, and therefore, it's ribbis the rabbonin. Amalei, adobar abel rava, adobar ava said to rava. But there's another problem over here. There is another charge over here. When you're going to buy the stuff in Hini and Shili, so then you're going to have to go and pay a middleman to go and get your buyers in Hini and Shili. And therefore, he's saving himself the money of having to go pay those people to direct him to the people that can sell it in Hini and Shili. So therefore, there's an additional fee that the guy is saving. That should be the Ribba's concern. That's the question that Adav Rava asked to Rava. So Rava says, Yataka right, Amalei, the koyov lei nami. Yeah, he has to go and give that to the seller because he is saving that amount of money. So he has to go give it to that person because that would be ribbis because he is saving that amount of money. Ravashi gives a different terms. Ravashi Amar, no. He says, when you have cash, the cash sells itself. The people at Hini and Shili will hear, oh, so-and-so has money. He wants to buy product. You don't need that middleman to go and find the people to buy it from. Your cash will go and find it for you. Zuze de inche, the money of a person, inu avdilei safsi ruse. They'll be the middlemen. They'll be the brokers over here. They'll be the ones that will get you the money. You don't need to go hire somebody. Hey, go find me somebody in Hini and Shili that will go and sell me this stuff. You just put out the word, I'm buying, and all of a sudden, the people in Hini and Shili will contact you. So therefore, there is no broker's fee, and therefore, you don't have to worry about that. There is no ribbis at all in this situation when you're purchasing from Shimon right now, even though you're going to get it later on, since you could have purchased it from Hini and Shili at no additional cost right now, according to Ravashi. According to Rava, there's going to be a little additional cost of the broker's fee, so that you'd have to pay that. But according to Ravashi, there's no broker's fee, so therefore, there is no ribbis here whatsoever. Now the Gemara continues, says, Rabba Rav Yosef, Dharma Tavayu, another statement that both Rabba and Rav Yosef said, Hai man, do you have Zuze, Atara Charifa, if somebody goes and pays money right now, and the prices have been set up, but it's an early price, this is what's called the Tara Charifa. Rashi explains, and this is in the first of the middle-sized lines in the Rashi, Haposik al haperos, Achelo yotza shar haboru, the full set official prices haven't been set up. However, there are other people that their crops came up early, Eloshar HaBechir, the early crops, there is already a price out for them, Shehi Somuch L'Kotzir, and this is very, very close to the harvest time. Some people rush to bring their stuff to the market, Shalukutos Mochrin Bezula. They'll sell it at a lower price, but they bring it to the market quicker. So, Hai Man Diyar V'Zuze Ataru Harifa, if somebody goes and pays at the early market prices, what we call this Taru Harifa, it's not enough that he just goes and says, okay, Shimon, I'll buy this from you right now for $100 for a mana. He has to actually go and see it. He goes to the Bay Dore, to the threshing area, and go and see the produce. Now, why is that? Lamai, why does he have to do that? If you're telling me, Ilimikna, if this is to go and actually make the actual deal go through, so that doesn't work because you don't give over money and buy metaltali. Holokani, as we said previously, metaltali aren't purchased with money. You have to make a kinyan mashicha. And all he did was look at it over here and see it. He didn't make a kinyan mashicha. So that can't be the purposes of over here of actually acquiring it. Because when he sees it, now you're going to say, if they back out, then he's going to be over the mishapara that we spoke about earlier. HaKadosh Baruch Hu that took it out on the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga will take it out on this person for going back on his word. So then there's a Misha Pari even if he doesn't see it. Kilo Mischaze, even if he doesn't go see it, they agreed to it. So now I'm in Mekabalei Misha Pari. So what is the purpose that he actually has to go and see it in the Bei Dore, in the threshing area, before he actually is able to go and take this, even though he's not getting the produce right now, but he's just doing it this taru harifa. So Gemara says, no. Li'olam l'kabul el mishapara. The whole purpose over here was a mishapara. But if you don't go and see it, then since there are a lot of people that go and bring this early, and the crops may not be so good early on, so in this situation, there is no mishapara unless you actually go and see it. Uman diyav zuzei atara harifa. If somebody goes and gives money at the earlier these Tara Harifa prices, so he doesn't give it just to one person. He gives it Lebei Trey Utlosayov. He actually goes and gives the money to two or three people because he knows that the produce will be different qualities and he wants the best quality. So he goes to two or three people and says, here, I'm giving you money. But if I don't actually go and see it, that means they all know that there's no Mishapari. He's allowed to go and retract it because he didn't make a kinyan with the money, and there is no mishapara over here unless he sees it, because everybody knows im it's chazile, if he sees it, so then so chadaiti, oh, I still want to go through with this because I saw it, I know it's a good quality, so then there's a mishapara if he doesn't go through with it. V'lo, but if he doesn't go and see it, so amar lei, everybody agrees that this guy who Reuven, who gave the money to Shimon and to Levi and to Yehuda, he can go and retract it, because Amina, we say the Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda will understand. They will say the Ashkachat Peri de Shapirim Didi. He found better produce than what I was selling, Vishakalt, and he took it from them, and therefore he's entitled to get his money back from us. That was the standard way to do business. That the Shara Harifa, the Tara Harifa, so then everybody knows that it's not a guaranteed sale until he comes to see it. Once he comes to see it, oh, he then is giving me the money. So then we know that the deal goes through. And if it doesn't go through, it's a Mishapara. Again, he didn't make a Kenyan, so it can be retracted, but there'll be a Mishapara. But without seeing it, so then this was the normal way. I give some to Shimon, I give some to Levi, I give some to Yehuda, some money, and I'll buy only from one of them. I'll see which one has the best one. And only when he goes and sees it, does the deal have a chayiv of a mishapara. If he doesn't see it, then everybody knows that the deal can be retracted. Now, based upon this, Rav Ashi added, and he said, "Hashda the amrus mishum mismach daita." Now that we're saying it's only because there's a smichas das over here that he understands. Yes, because he saw it. So now I know that he really means to buy it. So then, even if he doesn't actually see it, afilu ashlichei b'shuka, even if Reuven meets up with Shimon later on in the market and says, you know what, I definitely want to buy from you, even though he didn't see it, v'yom alei, I'm going to buy it from you, so then som chadaiti. Then there is smichas das over here, there is this acknowledgement that I'm going to buy from you, and there would be a mishapara in this situation, even if he didn't actually see it in the Beit Dari. Now the Gemara continues and says, Am Rav Nachman, klola de ribisa, the rules of ribis are as follows. Kol agar notale osur. Whenever you are waiting to get your money, so then that is ribis. If you're going to get more than what you gave, so then when you're kol agar notale, if you're getting paid to wait to get your money back, that is osur. That constitutes ribis. So that's the first thing that Rav Nachman said. As Rashi brings down five lines from the bottom in Agar Notale, Schar Hamtana, he's getting paid, so to say, he's getting rewarded for waiting to get his money. Imozul Gabe, if prices go up then in his possession, Mishum Hamtan, because of the waiting, Shemak Dimlo Hamos, because he gave the money earlier, Lamekach Enlo Lemocher Achshav, and he doesn't get it right now, so then that is ribis. That is awesome, because you're waiting to get your item, so you're getting more for it, so that's the equivalent of giving $100 and waiting to get it back, and you get $120 back. So therefore, kol agar notale is osur. That's rule number one that Rav Nachman says of ribis. Rule number two, Yom Rav Nachman, hay man diyov zuzei l'kiro, if a person gives over money to a wax salesman, Rashi says, kiro is mocher shaiva, somebody who sells wax. Now, v'kol ozle dalid, for a zuz, Rashi says, dalid, you get four combs of wax over here, chalos shava bezuza. So the normal price is four of these combs of wax for a zuz. But this person who's selling the wax, this kira says, you are my lay. He says to the person who wants to buy the wax, yohivna loch, hey, if you pay me right now, I will give you five combs of wax later on. So isnu gabe shari, if the guy has the five combs of wax right now, so then this is permissible because he could give it to him right now, and therefore it's as if the buyer already owns it right now. But if he doesn't have it, lasnu gabe, so then usur, because he's actually getting an additional benefit of this one comb of wax for not getting it right now. And if he doesn't have it right now, so then therefore this would be ribis. That's ribbis number two that Rav Nachman says. Gemara says, pshita, this is obvious. Why is Rav Nachman telling it to us? So Gemara says, lo tzricha. No, Rav Nachman needs to tell it to us because the islay ashroi b'masa. Because there are, in this situation, there are supplies of wax in the town. And I might have thought, mal detema, even though that this guy that he's buying it from doesn't have the wax, it's as if, kivan the islay ashroi b'masa, since there are people that are selling the wax, the wholesalers that are selling the wax, in town, so it is equivalent to what we had discussed previously in the Masechta. Ki ad sheyavo bini o ad sheemtzo mavteach domi. This would be like the situation where a person is selling something and he has it in his possession, but he doesn't have the key to it. He has to find the key to it. Or his son has the key to it, and the son will go and open it up later on. So in this situation, even though he can't give it to him right now, he has it in his possession, then it's not considered a forward contract. It's not considered a ribbons deal. So I might have thought if there are shrei b'masa, that's the equivalent of having a son who will come and open up the storehouse, or that when you find the key, you'll open up the storehouse, and therefore you might have thought it's good. So kamash lon, Rav Nachman is telling us, no, kivin the mechasrei guvaina, no, this is different than, I don't have the key right now, my son's going to come later on. This is, he hasn't purchased it yet, even though there are the wholesalers in town, ashrei b'masa, since kivin the mechasrei guvaina, he hasn't actually purchased it, so therefore, kaman de les nudami. So this is halachically as if he doesn't have it, and therefore, this is ribbis. Gemara tells us the third thing that Rav Nachman said regarding ribbis. Om Rav Nachman, hai man to ozif pshite mechavre. If somebody takes money from his friend, he takes small little coins from his friend, the ashkach be tufaina, and he finds out that there were more than he was expecting. So he expected to borrow, let's say, 10 coins, and instead there were 12 coins over there. So it depends. Does he have to return this or not? Will depend on ibich de shadas toa. If it's a type of a mistake that a person could make, so then machayev ladurile, then he has to go and return it to him. So a mistake of 10, he's counting out 10, and he by accident counted out 12. That's a mistake that a person could make, and therefore he has to return him the extra 2 coins because he wasn't supposed to get those 2 coins. However, if it's not the type of mistake that a person could make, which we'll explain in a moment, v'ilav, so then matona bi'amahu diovle, then this is considered a matona, and therefore he's allowed to go keep the extra coins. Now, what exactly does it mean? It's hechidomi b'chdei shadas toa, that if it's a type of mistake a person could make or not a type of mistake that a person could make. So Amar Rav Acha, brother of Yosef, Rav Acha, who's the son of Rav Yosef, tells us, and we turn to Samach Dalet Amar Aleph, if you're counting, be'i suraisa o v'chumishiasa. So Rashi explains that when a person counts, let's say, to the number 40, so he was going to give over 40 coins to this person. So he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that's 1, 10. Then he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, second 10, that's 20. Then he goes the same thing, 30, the same thing, 40. So here a person can make a mistake by accident. He thought he was up to only 20, when in fact he had already been up to 30. So therefore, when he reaches 40, which is the amount they want to give, he actually has 50 over there. So it's a mistake by 10. And sometimes a person counts by 5. So go 1, 2, 3, 4, that's 5. This is my first 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, this is my second 5. So when a person counts like that, with 10s or 5s as the base that he's counting, so a person can make a mistake. So if it's such a mistake, so then it could easily be a mistake that a person could make, and therefore you have to go return it. But if he counted out 12 coins when he's supposed to count out 10, that's not something a person makes a mistake on. He's careful in his counting, and therefore the extra 2 coins, he obviously wanted to give it to him, and that is a present. More questions. It says, Amalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Ravashi says, wait a second. V'i inish takifu, if this guy is known to be a not nice guy, he's a hard person. Ish inish takifahu delo yov matane. He doesn't give presents. So therefore, in this situation, when it was 12, so you can't say that it's a matana. My, in this situation, does he have to give it back or not? So the Gemara says, Amalei, Ravashi says back to Rav Acha b'rei de Rava, maybe Dilma Migzal Gazla. In fact, this guy once stole, let's say Reuven was being given the money here by Shimon, and Shimon once in fact stole 2 coins from Reuven, but he's embarrassed to tell him, I stole 2 coins from you. So maybe in this situation, he gave him back the additional 2 coins plus the 10 that he was giving him. And therefore, the avalei b'cheshvan. That's why he gave him 12. It's really his way of returning the coins that he had previously taken from him. And I'll show you that this is right, the Tanya, because we learned, hagozel es chaveru. If you steal something from your friend and you're embarrassed to go and tell that you stole it from him, you can give it back to him, v'vliya lo b'cheshvan, and give it back to him when you have to give him money for something else, yatsa. So now you gave him back the money, and the bottom line is, v'shiv zagezela asher goza. So therefore, we see from this brisa that in fact, the person sometimes will return something in some surreptitious way, so he doesn't admit that he stole it, he's embarrassed, but he does give back the item that he stole. So maybe that's what happened over here, even though this guy's an inish takifa, the lo yod matana, maybe this isn't a matana, maybe this is a return of the gezel. Rav Acha is still not happy. Rav Acha says, wait a second. What happens if we know that this guy never has been around over here? The Inish, the Osim, the Alma, the Lo Shokil, the Tori, Bahadei. My, this guy had no prior business dealings with him, so he couldn't have possibly stolen from him. And therefore, this guy's a tough guy. He doesn't give out presents, and now he gave him 12 when he only should have given him 10. Do you have to, in that situation, say you have to return it? Or can you say, no, this was a matana still in this situation? My. So Amalei, Rav Acha says back to Rav Acha, Brei de Rava, and he says, no, maybe even in this situation, Dilma Inish Achrino Gazle, in fact, somebody else stole from Reuven, who's getting the money now, the Amalei, and that person who had stolen from Reuven now tells Shimon, the guy who's giving him the money, this talkative person who's coming from another place and never had any dealings over here, but said, do me a favor. When you're giving him the 10 coins, throw in an extra 2 that I'm giving you now. Give him the 12, because this way I can return the gneva that I stole from him. I'm embarrassed to tell him. I'm embarrassed to openly admit that. But here, you'll give him back the money. So maybe that's the case as well. And therefore, when a person gets 12, which could not have been a counting mistake, it must have been intentionally given over, one has the right to keep it and can assume that it was given in some way, either as a matana or as a hishavan of a gezela, or that somebody else had returned this gezela through him, even if he himself had nothing to do with it. But this, therefore, can be given over to the Reuven, and he can keep all 12 coins. He doesn't have to return the 2 coins. This is a good break point. With this, I wish everybody a chag kosher v'sameach. I'm dictating this, as I mentioned, on Erev Pesach. We all, B'ezras Hashem, should have a wonderful, happy, healthy Pesach. It should be a time of shalom for all of Klai Yisrael, a time of geula shleima b'mehera.